both David and Cameron began this morning with a reference to 9/11. So I'm going to continue that trend this evening, but for a different reason. On this date in history, September 11, 2001, a plane crashed into one of the twin towers of the World Trade Center. A few minutes later, another plane hit the other tower. And it did not take long for the burning buildings to collapse. Two other aircraft were hijacked that day. One crashed into the Pentagon. The other crashed into a Pennsylvania field. And nearly 3,000 people lost their lives that day, and over 6,000 were injured. The victims were firefighters, policemen, military personnel, and civilians. All had families. All had loved ones. All were seemingly innocent victims of the evil of terrorism. We're going to look at a question today. And it's a question that has probably been asked ever since the first tear was ever shed. And it's probably asked every time we either experience for ourselves or we hear of a tragic story on the news today. And that is, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow suffering? Why does he allow sorrow and heartache and death, even among those who are his own children? And this has always been a problem for many people. But it's not a new question that we ask. As we heard in our scripture reading, Job of the Old Testament wondered about this, and probably every believer has wondered and at least pondered it in their own mind. And we hear of Christians today who suffer. There are car wrecks, there are illness, there's disease, deaths, and disappointments in our lives. Things that cause both physical and emotional hurting for the victims and their families. And here at Park Hill, we're not immune. We're not immune to suffering, are we? Each person here today has suffered hurting and heartache in their lives, and some more so in recent weeks and months. So why does God allow those things to happen? And this is a difficult question, isn't it? And our purpose in our lesson this evening is to try to find some possible answers. And to find those answers, of course, from God's inspired word. And the second purpose of this lesson is to help us see why Christians can even rejoice in the midst of trials and suffering in this life. So we ask the question, why does God allow suffering? Now, the first reason I would ask you to consider is this. Suffering keeps this world from becoming too attractive to us. From becoming too attractive. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Peter says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." So the Bible tells us that we're just pilgrims and sojourners in this life. And that means that this world is not really our home. And we too often forget that, don't we? We forget that. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." And then 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And so we are just pilgrims while we're in this world. There's something much better that God has prepared for us. But consider this for a moment. What if there were no suffering in this world? What if there were no suffering? No pain, no sorrow. What if everything was just like we wanted it to be and nothing bad ever happened? Do you think anyone would want to leave this earth? This temporary world? Would anyone want to prepare for their eternal home in heaven and those great blessings that God has prepared for us there? Probably not. Or at least not as much anyway. But God has set the order of things in this life in such a way that the world does lose its attraction to it. And sometimes young people have a tendency to think they're indestructible, that they're going to live forever, and I suppose I wasn't any different. But God has ordered our lives so that as we age, we long more and more for something better than this life, don't we? And yes, there are some good blessings on this earth that God has meant for us to enjoy. And we should enjoy them. But we need to be careful how we view them, because this is not our home. Heaven is better, so much better, because in heaven there is no suffering and there is no pain, no sorrow, and no death. And does that sound good to us? It does indeed, doesn't it? The suffering of this world does keep it from being too attractive to us. And it causes us to long for something better, for that place that God has prepared for us. Another thing that suffering can do for us, it can bring out our best many times. And we see this quite a bit. When there is an illness or a disaster or some kind of emergency, it tends to bring out the best in people. When the World Trade Center disaster happened, how many acts of heroism did we hear about? How many acts of kindness and how many acts of support did we see on the news? And no telling how many never made the news. Probably many more. But people sent money, they sent supplies and equipment, they volunteered their time, they did all kinds of different acts of kindness to help the people who were involved in that terrible event. And we see this in our own personal lives, don't we? If there is a death of a loved one, if there's a home that is burned, if someone is sick or hospitalized, we see that this will many times bring out the best in people. And we saw this in the recent outpouring of help for the church in Louisiana. So much so that Brian said they had to tell people to stop giving. Stop giving. In fact, they gave our part back. But we want to help, don't we, when we see someone hurting? And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Suffering does bring out the best in people. It develops our character. It makes us better in so many ways. And this may be why the early Christians could rejoice in their trials and suffering. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And you can see the progression of the Apostle Paul's message here. He said they gloried in tribulations because there was some good that came from them. It made them stronger. It developed their character. The things they suffered made them better persons and better in the service of the Lord. And last of all, it made their hope stronger. Their suffering caused them to look that much more to their future and for the time when they would suffer no more. And so, yes, suffering many times will bring out the best in people. Suffering may give us an occasion to silence the enemies of God. Again, thinking back to Job, if you remember, Satan wanted to prove God wrong about Job. He said that Job only served God because God had blessed him. But Job's patience, under even great suffering, silenced Satan. God was right about Job, wasn't he? God was right. And God's word says that in the end, Job was blessed with more at the end of his life than he had before his sufferings and trials. And you know, we can do a similar thing today in our lives as Christians. It is God's will that we silence foolish men. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 15, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Now, there are always those who will ridicule, make fun of Christianity. And they are ignorant of the truth. And their ridicule, it is a form of persecution to us. And it is a form of suffering that the Christian must put up with. But when we endure that, and we keep on doing what is good and what is right, then that works to put to silence their foolishness. When the Christian really shines in the most difficult times, it does have a way of silencing the enemies of God. Suffering makes us appreciate the good more. And we all receive so many good things in this life, and it's so easy to take them for granted. And instead of receiving them with thankfulness towards God, sometimes we forget, don't we? But suffering can help us appreciate those good things, such as good health. If we never get sick, we may never realize what a blessing it is to be healthy. And when we have problems in this life and our family and friends are there for us, it makes us appreciate them that much more, doesn't it? And suffering can help us appreciate our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. You see here, Paul was in prison and going through some trying times. But his words to the saints at Philippi showed how very much he appreciated them and their care for him. And suffering will do that. It makes us appreciate even more those who are near and dear to us. Suffering makes us more dependent upon God. More dependent upon God. And we too often think of ourselves as being self-sufficient. We have our jobs and our homes, and things may go well for a while in our life, and we think that everything's okay. But then something happens, doesn't it? Maybe there's a car accident and a loved one is injured and taken to the hospital. They go into surgery and the doctor comes out and says, I've done all I can do. It's out of my hands. And it's times such as that that we see how desperately we need God, don't we? We depend upon Him for our very life. Without God, we would not even exist. The Apostle Paul said in Acts 17, in verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. David said this in Psalms 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. Suffering helps us to realize this. It helps us to realize just how much we need God and His help in our lives. Because there does come a time when man can do no more. And it really is all in God's hands. Suffering can help purify us. Listen to the message of two passages here. The first is in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So Peter says that suffering can be like fire purifying gold. Gold is put to the fire to cause all the impurities to come out, to be removed from it. Suffering can do that for us. It can help us to have a more genuine faith, a more real faith. In the second passage, is found in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So James says that trials can do us good, serving to make us perfect, meaning mature or full grown in our faith. And when we go through those difficult times, if our faith endures the test, we will be a better Christian. We will be a stronger Christian. Listen to these words of a Christian man whose wife was injured in a car accident. He said, "Many times I searched my own life during these past 6 weeks in order to confess my every failure and shortcoming to God. I surely did not want my own sins to stand in the way of God hearing my prayers for Jane. It was absolutely necessary to be truthful with God and myself, and I am a better man today than before." And this is what suffering and tragedy did for this Christian. He became stronger. He was more pure in his faith. And he was better because of it. Suffering makes us sympathetic many times. And again, we look to the Apostle Paul. He wrote of this in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So suffering, in effect, helps us to be better able to comfort others in their afflictions and in their trials. We may have sympathy toward others in their pain and suffering, but until we've been there personally, there's no true understanding of their hurt. And I can give you a personal example of how this works. Through the first 40 some odd years of my life, I have known family members and friends and fellow Christians who have gone through marital problems in a divorce. And I knew it was a difficult time for them. But you know, I didn't really know just how difficult it was until after 23 years of marriage myself, I experienced firsthand a divorce. And so now I know what the others felt. And now I know I didn't know the half of it, because divorce really hurts. And it hurts deeply. And it'll take you through all kinds of emotions that you've never before experienced. And I know that now. And I can truly sympathize. And so suffering does make us more sympathetic and more understanding of the hurting of others. It helps us to be able to weep with those who weep, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12 and verse 15. And this is our final point. Suffering teaches us how to pray. It teaches us how to pray. And we may all be people who pray, and we pray often. And we try to pray for the right things. But when we're in the middle of suffering, it's a time when we really learn how to pray, you see. Suffering makes our prayers more earnest. It makes them more sincere. It causes us to search deeply within ourselves and to pour out our hearts to the Lord. Suffering causes us to seek the Lord in prayer, even when we don't know what to pray for. Look at Romans 8 and 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So even when we are in the middle of great trials and difficulties in our lives, and we really don't know what to pray for, but we know we must pray, the Spirit makes intercession for us. And you know, those are the times that I say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And I'm sure probably each one of you have done that. The Christian man that we referred to earlier, whose wife was in the car accident, said this. He said, I have been a praying man since I became a Christian, but never like this. I have learned more about prayer in the past 6 weeks than in the previous 20 years. My prayers will be different for the rest of my life. Suffering taught this man how to pray, and it ought to do the same for us. Well, that's our lesson. As we think about all these things that we've looked at, can we begin to see why a righteous and merciful God would allow suffering in this life, even to the innocent, even to his own children? Now, if we look at suffering only from man's point of view, we'll not be able to understand it. But remember what God said through the prophet Isaiah. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we look at all this suffering from God's point of view and from his viewpoint of his plans for us in preparing us for eternity and for heaven, then maybe we can begin to appreciate why he would allow suffering in this life. It does have much value for us. It makes us stronger. It makes us better. You see, we pray better. We sympathize with others better. It can help to purify us. And it causes us to appreciate God more and depend upon him. It may give us the chance to silence the enemies of God also, as Job did. And suffering can bring out our best. And suffering keeps this world from being just too attractive to us. Let's close with the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, who probably suffered much more than most people in his service to the Lord. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So no matter what we might go through in this life, if we put our faith in God, then we understand that there's nothing that can separate us from God's love, from his care for us. And that ought to be a tremendous assurance to those who are Christians. If you're not a Christian today, we hope that you will consider the great blessings of being one. He gave his son for you. He loves you. believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Change your heart and your mind. Be willing to confess his name before men. And then be baptized for the remission of those sins. If you have a need to do that, please come forward as we stand and sing.